Good morning. There was a young man looking for a shidduch. A friend of his thought of a wonderful idea, mentioned the name, looked into it, seemed suitable, said yes. The friend then went to the father of the girl, read the shidduch, and got a yes as well. But at that point, the fellow said, "Listen, you know, I read the shidduch because I know the two of you. I think it's a good idea. But I'm not really the shadchan type. I'm not really the person to go back and forth. Please find someone else that'll actually do the arranging, that'll actually make it happen." Now, this bachur looked around a little bit. He didn't offhand know someone who could do it. He was actually also looking to save a few dollars. So while this bachur may not have been the best bachur in the yeshiva, he certainly was the biggest character. So instead of hiring a shadchan, this fellow was apparently a talented actor. He picked up the phone. He made himself sound like a groyser Rosh Yeshiva and said, "I have a wonderful bocher that I know that I have shaykhs to." And he played shadchan. Now, the process went very smoothly. Whenever the girls saw it, any concerns or any problems, they called the shadchan, who was very quickly able to smooth things over. And a few weeks later, there's a mazel tov. Comes time for the vart, and as we mentioned in Eretz Yisrael, the minog is that you pay the shadchan at the vart. That's when the job is done, that's when the shadchan gets paid. Delaying payment past that is baltalin, biyomititin tzchoroi. So the father of the kala, after looking around, not seeing the shadchan, no one who went by that name, went over to his new chosin, hands him an envelope full of cash, and said, "Please give it to the shadchan." Now what? What do you do with the money? Who's entitled to what? How do you deal with this situation? So to understand the psak here, we have to go through some halachos that are a little bit more relevant to more typical situations. As we mentioned last week, when a shadchan does the job from beginning to end, he comes up with the idea, he reads it, he sees it through. So obviously he gets the full shadchanos. Whatever the typical shadchanos, whatever the parents are willing to pay, whatever the typical shadchanos is in the area, that belongs to him. Very often, that's not what happens. Very often, one person will start the shidduch, someone else will continue it. Most commonly, it's when a friend comes up with the idea, a relative, so they come up with the idea, they can get the parties to a yes, but they're not professional shadchanim. They may not have the time, they may not have the interest, they may not have the talents that are needed to get the shidduch through, however you define that. And therefore you bring in a professional to actually get the job done. So in halacha, the first person is considered the maskil. The person who gave the idea, who got to a yes, he is the maskil. The second person that actually got the job done, he closed the deal, he is considered a goyim. Now there have been different minhagim. Pesach Tshuva brings down some places, the minhag was to split it half and half. Today, the minug is not like that. Today, the minug, and it's also brought down in the Shev Yaakov and other tshuvos, the minug is the maskil, the one who got it started, gets one-third of the shadchanos. The goymer, the closer, gets two-thirds. And the reason mistama is that the shadchan doesn't get paid for the time they put in. Some shaduchim go very quickly, some take a lot longer. You don't get paid more because of the effort, because of the time. You get paid for the result. And a maskil is good, it's helpful, but as we all know, closing the deal, getting to yes, is really what counts. And that's why the minhag evolved, two-thirds to the goyimer, one-third to the maskil. Now, there are times where there's a third person involved. There's a maskil, but he peters out. They bring in someone else who gets it further. But at some point, they have to bring in a third person, a real professional, to actually close it. So here we have a maskil and an emtsoi and a goyimer. So here there are different minhagim. Many tshuvas bring down, the emtsoi gets nothing. The maskil gets paid because it was his idea, he got it started. The goyimer gets paid because he got it done. The emtsoi that was sandwiched in between, who didn't start it and he wasn't able to close it, so many places the minhag was not to give him anything. Other places the shadchanos was split a third, a third, a third. Again, today the minhag is not clear. Reb Shlomo Dikman, who just put out a sefer, it's actually Yossi, him, his brother-in-law, he brought some copies to sell over there. But he, asking around, he said the minhag today is typically to split it a third, a third, a third. The emtsoi, as long as he was needed, is part of it and gets a share of the shadchanus. Now, this, although in theory this is pretty clear, the masel gets a third, the goyimer gets two thirds, and if there's an emtsoi, sometimes it's, you know, there's a bit of machlokes whether you split it a third, a third, a third, or not. However, it's not always clear exactly what role everyone, each person plays. And the biggest confusion, a goyimer is usually pretty straightforward. The person who's involved to get to a yes is the goyimer, and there's usually not much debate about who that person is. The masel, on the other hand, is a lot more open to debate. Because what does it mean to be a masel? It means you have the idea, it means you have to read it, you have to get a yes. How far do you have to go? So the Pesach Tshuva brings down a number of tshuvas that say to be a masel, it's not enough just to have this idea. You actually have to read it, you have to even discuss how much of a nod and how much of a dowry the parties are going to give. Now it doesn't seem like you have to get to a maskana, a conclusion on it, but you have to get the process far enough, they're already discussing how much they're willing to give. At that point, you consider it a maskal. So even though at that point the negotiations get a bit tense and they need to bring in someone else to make it happen, nevertheless, because you got it to that stage where they're already talking about the nadin, that is enough to be considered a maskal. If you don't get to that stage, you just have the idea, you made a suggestion in theory, but you didn't get to that discussion. So a number of the tshuvas say that you're not even a maskal, you're entitled to nothing. Now, although there are tshuvas that say this, nevertheless, today, halacha l'maisa, I don't believe this is the practice at all, for the simple reason that the nadin today, the negotiations, the shidduch is much less business-like than it used to be. In past times, virtually the entire job of the shadchan was negotiating the terms, how much each party is contributing, the financial arrangements. Today, there's much more involved to a shidduch, and that's not the primary focus or the primary challenge of the shadchan in a normal case. And therefore, come out, all of the poskim today will say you don't have to discuss the nadin today. Adarabba, the parties very often discuss that among themselves all the way at the end. So today, halacha l'maisa, you do not have to do that. You can be a maskal even though you never discussed what the financial arrangements will be. Now, although you don't have to discuss the nadin, the question is how far do you have to go? If you have an idea but nothing happens, if you have an idea, you read it, nothing happens, and someone else comes in later, what point do you become a maskal? So in a case where you have an idea, but you don't actually talk to the parties, you have an idea, and you suggest it to a shadchan who goes ahead and reads the shidduch. In that case, the person who came up with the idea is certainly not a maskal. Because a maskal, let's go back to what the way we set it up the past 2 weeks. A shadchan is really a poel. He's a worker. He's doing a job for you. Or perhaps a yoyrid, someone who does a job for you without being specifically hired. A poel is the person who you interact with that actually did the job for you. In this case, you had a wonderful idea, but you didn't do anything with it. You then gave the idea over to a shadchan who went ahead and did a job for you, and went ahead, read the shidduch, got the ball rolling. So in that case, the shadchan is the maskal. Now, it could be you can go to the shadchan and say, I'm a partner, I helped you out, this came from me, and perhaps the shadchan should give you something for coming up with the idea that he used and he successfully to create a shidduch. But as far as your relationship with the chas and the kala, you had no connection to them, you didn't do anything for them, and therefore, in that case, you're not a maskal. So the person who just came up with the idea, didn't do anything, he's certainly not a maskal. If a person comes up with the idea and gets to a yes, the parties say yes, that certainly is a maskal, and even if afterwards he bows out, let someone else continue, he will be entitled to one-third of the shadchanus. Now, what happens if you read the shidduch to one side? They say yes. Now, the other side, you don't know very well. You've heard about them. That's why you came up with the idea. But you have a friend who you know knows the other side very well. You call the friend and ask them to read it to the other side. Now, in that case, assuming you get a yes, the two of you collectively are a maskal. You did half of the haskalah. He did the other half. So whatever the shadchanus is paid, one-third goes to the maskal. And in this case, it will be split. You'll get half of it from the side that you got the yes on. your friend who you brought in to speak to the other side will get half of it from the yes that he got to. So it's a maschal, and for that matter, a goymer as well. If two people are working in tandem, one for one side, one for the other, then each one gets paid for the work they've done on their respective sides. Now, where things get a little bit difficult is, what happens if a person reads a shidduch, and he gets a no? He can't get them to agree. A few weeks later, or a few months later, someone else, a second person comes, and reads the shidduch, and he gets a yes. Baruch Hashem, the shidduch goes through. So the second one is certainly the goymer. They're the ones that got it through. But what about, who gets the paid, the third for a maskal? Is it the one that came up with the idea? Or is it the one that actually got it to happen? So this really seems to be somewhat of a machlokes, but it very much depends on the specifics of the case. Like this. If it was the first person's idea, he spoke to both of them, at that point they weren't ready. But once the second shatkan heard of the idea and said, you know what, it really is a good idea. So a few weeks later, picks up the phone, badgered them a little bit more, until they just said yes to get him off the phone, and the shidduch went through. Now, in that case, it's the second person certainly closed the deal, but he was continuing, he was picking up on the first shatkin's work.
He knew, exactly.
He heard about, it was the first person's idea. Correct, exactly. We'll get to that in a minute. You know, the first person's idea, the second one said, no, that's a really good idea. He went, pushed it again, and got it done. Now, in that case, if the first person had not come up with this idea, Zokta Shev Yaakov, nothing would have happened. So in that case, although the first person couldn't get to the yes, since they're the ones that had the idea, and the ultimate shidduch clearly came about as a direct result of that idea, there, the first person will be entitled to the haskala, he'll get a third, the second person will get two-thirds. Okay, the case that we're talking about now is the second person had heard the idea that the first person tried and didn't work. He said, oh, you know what, it's taka a good idea, he followed up. Now, what happens in the more common case? One person reads the shidduch, it's a wonderful idea. It goes nowhere. Another shatkan has the same idea. It's not such a rocket science, it's taka a good idea. He, on his own, comes and reads the shidduch. He picks up the phone, and when he calls the parties, they say, by the way, we've heard this idea before. This is fine, pushes it through, they get engaged. Is the first person entitled to anything? Now here, it's true as the first person thought of it first. The first person approached the parties first. But he didn't get anything done. It was when the second person came, they thought of it independently. Essentially, the second person didn't do any more work or any less work because someone else thought of it beforehand. And therefore, the question is, perhaps the second person is the entire shatkan from beginning to end.
First shatkan laid the groundwork and moved the
mindset. Okay, very good, very good. It's like this. There are some tshuvas, the Chochmah Shloimeh, and perhaps the Shev Yaakov, it's not so clear, say that when you deal with shidduchim, there's a lot of emotion, psychology, you know, mixed into things. And he says the teva olam is that you hear a shidduch once, okay, you don't get excited about it. When you start hearing it from a lot of people, it warms, you know, one person warms you up, the other person comes in and closes the deal. Zog the Chochem Shloime, because of that, even though the first person got a no, nevertheless, it's very mistavra that he laid the groundwork. And when the second person came, he was able to get to the yes because, oh yeah, everyone's saying it's a good idea, it must be a good idea. Therefore, Zok the Chochem Shloimeh, the first person is at least a partner, you know, perhaps not the whole maskal, but he played a role in it, and therefore he gets a share in the chedek of the maskal. Not the complete amount, because he couldn't get to that yes. But nevertheless, because it contributed to it, he gets something. Now, other poskim say you can't make this assumption. I think Rav poskim say it's true. In a case where you see that it took the combined efforts. Let's say the first person reads it, and they're on the fence. You know what? We're going to think about it. Something else came up right now, but we're going to, you know, they're going back and forth. It's seriously considering it. And then you bring in the big guns to push them to the yes. So in that case, where clearly the first person got them interested, and they may have said yes anyway, then certainly there'll be some sort of shutzpah. On the other hand, if the person gets a flat no, and now the second person comes in, and it does not seem, we don't see that we needed the first person at all. Had it never happened, the second person could have done it on their own. In that case, most poskim can say the first person is not considered a maskal. So it's somewhat subjective. But in a case where the second person didn't need the first one, he would have been able to do it on his own, then he probably is entitled to the entire shatchanus. In a case where the first person laid the groundwork, softened it up, and it was a combined effort, then they would, mistavra, split the shatchanus. So when you have a case where one person registered, gets a yes from one side, the other side says no, and now we bring in someone else to go ahead and push it through. So the first person is definitely a maskil from half of it, from the side that said yes. On the side that said no, initially, we'll have to figure out. They said no, but when the second person came, was he building on the first's efforts, in which case they'll split even the chelik of the second side? Or no, or if it was a flat out no, and it's the second person that came in and got it from a flat no to a real yes, and without the input of the first, then he would get the entire maskil from that chelik. In Bezdin, never. It never happens up in Bezdin, but we get shilas all the time. You know, they'll call a rav, you know, it's the kind of thing which people want to settle, they want to make people happy. And also, as we pointed out, it's generally not a question of how much you're going to pay. How much shachanus gets paid is you look at the minog, whatever the pachas of a whatever the minog is, that's how much you're going to pay. The question is splitting it among the shatchanim. So in many of the tshuvas, they say if there you have these kind of fights, the parents take the money, give it to Bezdin, and say, Bezdin, here's the money. You figure out what to do with it. And at that point, the advantage of doing that is before they pay, there's a certain amount of negiyas. They are kosher for an aid. They're not kosher for an aid. Once the money is escrowed, it's gone anyway. It's just a question of how to divvy it up. Now the parents have more credibility when they start saying exactly what role each person paid. But I've never heard of it actually coming to Bezdin, but it is very common. I get this all the time. I'm getting engaged tomorrow. There are 12 people involved. How do I split up the shatchanus?
I hope not to usurp what you're planning on saying. I know several cases where shidduch was read. It went out several times, and it went nowhere. 2 years passed, and somebody else read the shidduch, and then it went through a second time. Or I even know a case of a third round. And now the Baruch Hashem happily married 25 years.
Okay, so great question. So let me just answer that on two levels. The first question is that when the second person came around and read it, were they getting a yes because of the first person's efforts or not? Now, in some cases, the question, here it's almost certainly the answer is yes. They went out. Obviously, there was something there. At that point, they decided they can do better or whatever the cheshbon was, they dropped it. But it was enough that when it gets mentioned again, they say, you know what, you know, I'm a couple years older, maybe we should revisit that. So clearly, it has something to do with the first person's efforts. So as far as that issue, they really should be partners in being a master. The issue, and the reason why this case might be different, is time passed. And perhaps at some point, there is a statute of limitations, if you will, at some point it ends. So someone recently told me, actually a Maisa Shehoyo, where he read a shidduch when he was a young bacher, and at that time it went nowhere. He got married. 40 years later, his wife passed away, and he ended up marrying one of the girls that was read to him 40 years earlier. Of course, at the chasana, Shadchan comes, remember me. So the Erech Shai actually has such a case. This has been litigated in the past. Again, it wasn't 40 years in that case. And Erech Shai says a svara is a concept of years. Once it gets to the point where they're happily married, they have a whole family, at that point the Shadchan, even though he did a haskalah, he did something, he gives up hope, he's miyayish, it's gone, and he loses his claim. So if they get married in between and then they get divorced and they go back, even though, now again, this case was 40 years later, he wasn't going back because it was read 40 years ago. It was a total coincidence. But even if, after the divorce, he said, you know what, you know, he starts thinking through all the people who he was read to before and goes back, so it was caused by the maskil, nevertheless, Erech Shai says, at some point where, again, where he got married, it's clearly gone, there's yish, you give up your rights. Now, the place can bring down, there in Prague, there was a takana, that if you read a shidduch and nothing happened for a year, then you'll lose your rights as a maskil. That was the cutoff they give, because to figure out when you are miayish, when you're not miayish, and to start fighting after the chasam, no, I never gave up hope. I always knew one day you'd come to your senses. So they made a takon a year. That is the cutoff date. That's how, at that point you lose your rights. So probably not. You know, a maslo, a shadchan is if we compare it to a commercial transaction, it's a broker. A broker is the one that says, I'm offering this product for sale. And if you're interested, then I'll go to the seller and try to work out a deal. If I tell you, we're sitting in shul one day, and I tell you, by the way, there's a great, you know, I heard there's a great property in California, go look into it. I'm not brokering a deal. I'm just giving you a maramakam, and you're just passing along a piece of information that if you're... What? So in that case, you probably are not a masle at all. So when you say, I'm readying you this girl, the hainu, if you say yes, I'm going to go to them and I'm going to try to make it happen. So even though I may have to bring someone else to make that happen, but it's very different than just telling you, by the way, this is the best bachar in liquid. So this is the idea of a masle. You're coming up with the idea, if you're the one, if without you, the idea, no one would have thought of it, and they're following up on you, you're certainly a masle. If the second person thought about it on his own, we have to look into, is he building on what you did, or is he, or really what you did was meaningless and wouldn't have made a difference, in which case the second person would be a maskal. When someone else takes over, that in middle, or even towards the end, that person's a goyim, or entitled, the minhag today is to pay him 2/3, even if he comes at the very end. The maskal does a great job, he gets him all the way to the end, but then things get too tense, there's an issue, they have to bring in a professional to close the deal, there the goyimer will get 2/3. And again, the logic is, Lemaisa, he's the one that got it done. He may not have had to invest as much time, but we're focusing on the result. The first person couldn't get to that final yes, and that's why the goyimer, the minhag has been to pay 2/3. Now what happens if the parents themselves have an idea? Two chavrusas, they know each other for years, they know the families, one has a son, one has a daughter. They decide on their own, perhaps this is a nice shidduch. And they go ahead and they call a shadchan, and they have someone do the actual back and forth to make it happen. So certainly this shadchan is the goymer. He's the one that arranged the dates, got everyone on the same page. But who's the maskal in this case? So here we find two ways of looking at it. What some achroinim say, and very logically, is that there is no maskal. The job of a maskal was done internally by the parents, and obviously they don't pay themselves. So the shadchan that was brought in after they already had a yes from the parties, he was just the goyimer. So he gets paid 2/3 of the shadchanis. Now, the same shayla comes up the other way. What happens if a shadchan suggests the idea? You have two chavrusas, they know each other for years, and everything's wonderful. But what all too often happens in shidduchim is you always look, you know, distance, far. You never thought of your chavrusa. Someone comes and says, listen, I know your chavrusas, but maybe this is a good idea. Goes to both parties, gets a yes. At that point, you know, they're seeing each other every day. They don't need someone else to go ahead and call back and forth and arrange the actual dates. They do it themselves. So is the first person just a maskal? Does he get it? What does he get? So some poskim say, that, let's look at what he did. The first person did nothing more other than getting a yes. That's a maskal. So whatever the shadchanos is, he gets 1/3 of that. The rest of it, the parents obviously don't pay themselves. They put in their pockets. So this is not, if you're looking to save money on your chasen expenses, if you go ahead and instead of having a shadchan go back and forth, the parents deal with it directly, according to some poskim, they will only pay the shadchan 1/3. Others argue, and they say no. What's a shadchan's job? A shadchan's job is, they have an idea, they read it to the parties, and to be tied to the full shadchanos, they have to do all of the back and forth necessary to make the shidduch happen. Sometimes it's a lot of work. Sometimes they have to spend weeks or months shuttling back and forth trying to get them all together, and it's very difficult. Sometimes it goes very smoothly. You arrange it, and after the third time already, they drop the shadchan, and everything just goes smoothly without your involvement. What a shadchan gets paid is not tied or pegged to how much he works. It's the fact that he got the job done. Therefore, what some places say is, the idea of splitting 1/3 to the maskal and 2/3 to the goyimer, the pshat is not that a maskil, the service of a maskil gets paid a certain amount, and a goyim gets paid the rest. The pshat is a shadchan that gets the job done is entitled to, let's say, $2,000. When there's a shutvis between two parties, so you want to know how to split the shadchanos, this is how it gets split. But in a case where to get the job done, all you needed is that original introduction, that's the entire shadchanos. You did everything that was needed. And therefore, what most poskim say is that even though it was easy, it was one phone call and then parents took it over, since you did everything that was needed to make the shidduch happen, you're entitled to the full shadchanos, not just as a maskil. What? Now, clearly, a parent is not entitled to shadchanos. You know, in the case that we just gave, the parents have the idea. You know, it's if a stranger has the idea and a second person finishes it, they split it one-third, two-thirds. If the parent has an idea, we don't say the parent is a maskil. And the reason for that is, a shadchan is a poyel or a yoyrid. Over here, the parents are not acting as a poyel. They're not acting as a yoyrid. They're taking care of themselves. They're the baal dover. So in that case, the parents are not a shadchan. They're the baal dover. And whatever task the shadchan does, whether it's a maskil or goyim, he's probably entitled to the entire shadchanos. Now, when it comes to other relatives, there's a bit of a shaila. In other words, what happens if the brother comes up with the idea, and he's the maskil? Or for that matter, let's say a brother goes ahead and goes to both sides and gets the shidduch done. Is he entitled to shadchanos or not? So technically, yes. Bishleima, the parents are considered balei dvarim. They're the ones that handle for the son, the daughter. They're the ones that take care of it. They're a baal dover. They're the ones that are actually, that you speak to about the shidduch. So they clearly cannot be shadchanim. However, other relatives, they're not the baal dover. When you want to read a shidduch to the girl, you don't talk to her brother, you talk to the parents. So in that case, at least in theory, the brother who acts as a shadchan, comes up with an idea, is entitled to full shadchanis. No, so the fact that you're a baal dover is a reason why you don't get shadchanos. And therefore, for example, let's say you read the shidduch to the other side. You can't send your mechutin a bill that as a shadchan when it goes through because you're not an outside shadchan, you're a baal dover. Now, your second point is, if a shadchan is doing less work, why doesn't he get paid less? And that, in a chanami, it's a machlokes. Some say you're right and they only get paid as a goymer. Others argue that the shadchan gets paid the full amount for getting it done, whatever is needed. So if in this case all you need is the paint, still, you're getting paid for getting the job done, for closing the deal, and that's the entire shadchanos. But a parent, or the person who's handling, if you have a yosoima, whoever is the person who handles for her, can't send the bill as a shadchan. They're the baal dover, they're not a shadchan. Another relative, a brother, a sister, a brother-in-law, if they're the ones that come up with the idea and read it, they, in theory, should be entitled to shadchanos. However, we do find two exceptions. The first is there are some poskim that say that a brother or a sister, an immediate member of the family, we can make an assumption, probably did not do it, was not intending to get paid. As we mentioned 2 weeks ago, if you read a shidduch and at the time you have no intention of asking for money, you can't change your mind later. So if you have a family member, and at the time they were doing it to help out their sister, their brother, and later on they get smart and say, why can't I ask for shadchanos? If at the time they read it, they weren't intending to get paid, they can't change their mind afterwards. But in a chanami, if they were taka from the beginning, you know, their brother or sisters, but business is business, they did it with the intention to be a shadchan, just because they're related is not reason for them not to get shadchanos. That being said, there was a takana that we find that it seems that it was common that a shadchan would come in, would read a shidduch, get everything started. Then at some point in the process, the parties would push out the shadchan and bring in their brother-in-law to go ahead and close the deal. When the shidduch happened, they then argued, okay, the first shadchan was the maskil, but now my shvager is the one that's the goyimer, and therefore I'll deal with him. He'll be entitled to the shadchanos. So because of this problem, or because this was happening, they made a takana and said that any close relatives do not get paid shadchanos. And it was a takana simply to protect other shatchanim that were involved in the process, because otherwise a person would say, why should I give all this money to an outsider? Let me keep it in the family. And they would push out the shatchan shaloi kedin. So this is takana. I don't know that it applies today, but we do find such a concept simply to protect other shatchanim. But at least conceptually, there's no reason why a relative should not get paid for his shatchanis. Now let's go back to our original story. What was our story? The Bacher went ahead. One person came up with the idea. He got a yes from both sides, and then the Bacher went ahead. He imitated a third party and got the shidduch done. So the person who came up with the idea and got a yes, what's he? Maskil. So they're entitled, he's entitled to a third. The Bacher played the role of a goyimer. A goyimer normally gets two-thirds. But we mentioned it before, can a parent be a shatchan? No. The parent is a baldover. Baldover is not a shatchan. So if the parent cannot be a shatchan, certainly the Bacher can't be a shatchan. So in that case, even though he did the job of a goyimer, he's not entitled to any compensation. So now we have the next question. If the Bacher, who did the job of a goyimer, is not entitled to compensation, how do we deal with the maskil? So as we mentioned before, according to most poskim, the maskil, even though he just got to the yes and then he stopped, he would very likely be entitled to the full shadchanos. Because in this case, they didn't need a goyimer. All you needed is get the yes, and afterwards the parties on their own were able to deal with it. So in such a case where the maskil is all that was needed, the goyimer happened on its own, it happened through this bacher playing these games, so it's very mistavra that the maskil would get the entire amount. Well, in this case, the Chashukei Chemed, who is the one who comes up with the story, actually has a chesh, maybe this case is worse, maybe this case... you wouldn't pay the full shachanas, but again, it's a technical argument that I'd rather not go into right now. Let me just briefly touch upon something that we mentioned before, and that is what happens if one shachan reads the shidduch and perhaps even gets this process started. But things are a little bit tense. They're not going so smoothly. You want to bring in another shachan and push out the first one. Can you do this, or what is the effect if you do this? So the Ramah brings down a Tshuvas Arash that says like this. If a person reads a Shidduch and everything's going great, and you push out the first Shadchan to bring in your relative or whatever the reason is, you have a friend that you want to give the money to as an Arma, then the Rosh is Mavur, you'd have to pay the first Shadchan the full amount. They did everything. They did the beginning. The Shidduch is happening. You just pushed him out because you wanted to deprive him what he's entitled to. That's not going to work. On the other hand, you do point, says very strongly, if the Shidduch runs into potholes, and now there's a question whether this first shotgun can get it done or not, you want to bring in someone simply because you want to make sure it happens, the Noi Divyuta says that's not called an arma. That's called protecting your family. That's called getting the deal done. And in that case, where you're bringing in someone else because it's needed to get the job done, there the Noi Divyuta says that's perfectly fine. Now, the Igros Moshe makes an interesting distinction. He says, if the Shadchan originally read the Shidduch on his own, he calls you, he calls both sides, he gets it done, then certainly, if you don't want to continue using him, you have the right to. What's this like? When they're reading on their own, they're a yoyrid. If someone paints your house without being asked, he's entitled to get paid. If you walk into your house and you find someone in the middle of painting your living room and you tell them, stop, I don't want you to finish, I have someone else I'll hire. You certainly have the right to do it. The yoyrid can't say, what do you mean? I'm in the middle, let me finish. Who asked you to come? You came, you did whatever you did, I'll pay you for what you did, but now get out of my house, let me bring in the person that I want to. So who had them by a shadchan who goes ahead on their own, they're a yoyrid, they volunteer, they read the shidduch, so they give you the idea, you say yes, but now you tell them, thank you for the idea, I'll pay you if it goes through as a maskil for giving me the idea, but I don't want to use you, I have other people I have more confidence in, so that you certainly would have the right to do. My Shein Kane, if you approach the shadchan and you ask them to read it, or if they came up with the idea and then you said, yes, go forward, I want you to do it, there the Igros Moshe argues that's very different. When you hire someone to do a job, and you want to fire them in middle, the Igros Moshe writes, that's not so simple. If you hire someone to paint your house, and in middle you change your mind and say, get out of here, I want to bring in someone else, you'll very often be entitled to pay for the entire job because you can't change your mind once the job begins. The Gemara might just suggest in such a case, if the first person could have gotten it done, but you just don't like him, you want to bring in a second person, there the Gemara might just suggest you'd have to pay the entire amount. Others argue, and they say it's one thing when you hire someone to paint a house where it's biyadoi. If he wants to finish painting the house, he could do it and you'll have to pay him. A shidduch is not biyadoi. He can't guarantee that he can get this over the finish line. In a case like that, where he doesn't, even if he tries, he won't necessarily be able to finish. More than that, he needs your cooperation. This idea that once I start, I'm locked in, this other place can say doesn't apply, and therefore in middle you'd have the right to push them out. Now again, Halacha L'maaseh, Aruch HaShulchan uses very strong language that once a shadchan is there to push them out in middle or for someone else to come in, he says it's kemat gezel. He uses very strong language that it should not be done. It's a tremendous avla. On the other hand, when you bring him in not because you want to push someone out, but because he's simply not getting the job done, then adarabba, then it's for his tayelis, because if the shidduch dies, he gets nothing. If someone else comes and actually gets the shidduch through, at least he'll get a third. But as you can imagine, these cases are very subjective. Shadchanim generally won't see it in the same way that you do, and this is an area that can cause cause machlokes and hard feelings. So you should be very careful before you go ahead and you do this. Okay, so this is going to be the last shiur until after Yontif. So I want to wish everyone a ksiva v'chasima tova. Yontif.